Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
There we go, I've just been pecked again. So as they come close, you can really hear them. It's that sort of clicking, clattering sound, and then the screech as the bomb down. They don't always peck, but when they do, you do feel it.
The Farne Islands in the North Sea off the coast of Northumberland have a very special species of seabird visiting from May to August each year. These seabirds have a reputation for fiercely protecting their young, but it's their ability to fly thousands of miles during their migration that sets them apart. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth, and for this episode, Northumberland-based ranger Dan Iston joins a Farne Islands ranger who, despite being regularly dive-bombed by them, is a big fan of these seabirds. Welcome to Wild Tales and the globe-trotting Arctic Terns. Arctic terns come to the Farne Islands each summer to nest and breed. These small seabirds have bright red beaks and feet, grey and white feathers on their bodies, and a cap of black feathers on their head. With their lightweight frame, short legs, forked tail, and narrow, angular wings, they're excellent at gliding through the skies on a breeze. In fact, they're famous for one of the longest migrations of any bird, experiencing more daylight hours than any other animal on the planet. Every year they migrate from the Arctic Circle to the Antarctic Circle, racking up miles by meandering across oceans and continents rather than flying directly north or south. Dan's catching up with Ranger Tom Hendry in the Inner Farne Information Centre to learn about the Arctic terns, their record-breaking journeys and their special technique for seeing off intruders.
Hello, Tom, you all right?
Hi, Dan, how's it going?
So how many Arctic terns have we got on the island?
So we have about 500 pairs of Arctic terns on the Farne Islands approximately at the moment. There were more previously, around 1,000 pairs, but they have suffered the past couple of years as a result of bird flu. But there's still some quite good numbers on Inner Farne. They are everywhere and make their presence heard and felt as well.
Arctic terns have a bit of a reputation for aggressively defending their nests and young.
When you're going past the visitor areas, the Arctic terns are there to kind of dive bomb you, peck you, poo on you as well. But it's all from the best possible place, though. They're here essentially for one purpose only, and that's to kind of rear young. They spend the winter all the way down in Antarctica.
They're coming a long way to come here to nest. So what's good about the Farne Islands for them?
The Farne Islands offers an ideal habitat for them. We've got great vegetation, so we've got a nice mix of kind of grasses, sort of sandy, shingly area as well. They'll typically arrive end of April, and at the start of May, that's when we'll kind of first see the eggs. They can lay up to 3 eggs in a nest. So most often you'll get kind of, most nests will have one or two chicks in the end. Whatever stage of their development at the moment, they still rely on the parents. One parent incubating the eggs or small chicks to keep them warm. Once they're of a certain size, both parents will be busily just going back and forth a conveyor belt of chick provision.
So the chicks take a lot of looking after, but what do the parents bring for them to eat?
The most common food that they like to eat this time of year is the sand eels on the Farne Islands. Part of the reason why they breed here, as well as the protection and the habitat, is just the seas around the Farne Islands are just so plentiful.
So the chicks, they grow, they fledge, ready to leave the nest. Where are they off to?
They start a huge journey. They will make the trek down to Antarctica in a number of kind of steps.
The long trip to Antarctica and back is impressive. It's a journey of around 50,000 miles a year. This means that over a lifetime, some Arctic terns are flying the same distance as taking 3 trips to the moon.
We had quite a famous ring tern who was over 30 years old. And I think it was calculated that that individual would have flown over 1 million miles over the course of its life, which is sort of staggering. We've also had some researchers who've done some quite interesting stuff as well by putting these geolocator tags on their legs. Many birds would go the route, what you might expect, you know, go down the coast of West Africa and then sort of sometimes into the middle of the Indian Ocean and then down to Antarctica. But they found one individual went into the Indian Ocean and then it actually went down to New Zealand before then going down to Antarctica.
Arctic terns form strong bonds and often stay with the same mate for many breeding seasons, reuniting after their long migration in the same colony each year. When the pairs get back together, there's some wooing and a few moves between the two.
They won't have seen each other for the whole winter. To sort of re-establish this bond, the male will bring fish for the female. There'll also be a bit of a courtship display where both birds will almost like kind of bow to each other. It's quite sweet.
What are some of the dangers towards that these birds have to face?
Yeah, so it's a very very dynamic lifestyle out here, and lots of threats along the way to the adults and the chicks. Many of the birds are at risk of predation from great black-backed gulls, herring gulls, for the chicks in particular. Disease is also a concern as well.
Avian influenza, or bird flu, is an infectious disease that affects bird populations across the world. In 2022, the UK experienced its largest outbreak of bird flu in wild birds ever recorded, putting many species like Arctic terns under pressure and having a devastating impact on the Farne Islands.
So 2022 and 2023 were quite bad. I mean, we lost over 9,000 birds over those 2 years. You know, many of which were guillemots, but we also lost quite a lot of Arctic terns as well. This is the issue with having these quite dense colonies. You know, they're really good for protecting each other. But then, you know, with disease, if the birds are so close together, it might sort of go through them. So it's important for us to kind of mitigate as best we can. And then if there is signs of disease, it's kind of recording that properly and removing the birds from the area if we can. But last year, there wasn't much evidence of bird flu at all. You know, very few deaths.
Good.
And this year seems to be the same, which is really good because there is evidence in other tern species that, you know, that immunity can develop towards bird flu.
I think it'd be great to go out and have a look. Show us round. Let's see if we can spot some chicks on the nest.
Let's do it.
See the terns dive bombing.
Dan and Tom head outside the information centre and immediately come across some heads peeping out from under the vegetation.
We have some Arctic tern chicks just to the right of us here.
Oh, yeah, I can just see one poking its head up there. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't know they were tern chicks, you probably wouldn't know by their appearance because they look nothing like the adults, really. These ones are quite brown and sandy with kind of black spots. Should we try and see some bigger ones?
Yeah, let's go see.
As they wander further across Inner Farne, Dan and Tom spot some more chicks with parents close by.
So this guy's a different story, really.
Oh, wow.
You know, so this one's looking more like an adult. You know, so you've got... You see the tips of the wing feathers there, they're almost fully developed, you know. They're really kind of adult feathers. But it still has that sort of downy fluff that all the chicks have. So eventually, it'll lose all the fluff. And then it'll eventually start to stretch its wings to practice flapping. And then one day it'll just kind of go up literally a few feet and that's it, kind of, oh, I can fly now. So this one will be probably more about kind of 4 weeks old. So it's not too far from fledging. As you can see, I mean, it's got a shorter bill and shorter wings and not much of a tail, but it's similar size to the adults now. So, you know, too big for the adult to sit on it, but still fully reliant on parents for food.
Yeah. So we've got one clattering just over my head. Do look quite vicious, don't they? Especially with that sharp bill on them.
Well, they've got... it's almost like a bandit mask over them, which gives them that evil look, but they're amazing.
It's the blood-red beak as well, though, isn't it?
That's, blood-red beak, yeah.
It's intimidating. So as they come close, you can really hear them. It's that sort of clicking, clattering sound, and then the screech as the bomb down. They don't always peck, but when they do, you do feel it. We've walked past now, and they've gone back to the nest. They don't really follow you, do they? It's more once you get out of the area of the nest, they're okay?
You'll get individuals who are more feisty than others, so they will follow you a bit further or peck you a little bit harder and sometimes draw blood.
They're pretty good.
You think, I respect you a lot, but quite painful.
I've just been pecked there, and again, they're really, really quite feisty here, aren't they?
They are,
they're really good.
They are. Good area.
Is there a tactic to not getting pecked?
I think, again, just find someone taller than you and sort of crouch behind them, I think, is the main tactic.
Oh, so that's good to know, okay.
Good for me, anyway.
What a deterrent. It really does work. You can see how it's so effective. But what a privilege it is to be here and sort of experience this.
It's a privilege to work with these birds and to help them along their way and their breeding cycle. And it's great to have people and visitors to come on to enjoy it as well, and also contribute to protecting them.
Brilliant. And thank you very much.
It's time for Dan to leave the island. But before he heads off, he reflects on his day with the Arctic terns.
I've really enjoyed seeing the Arctic tern colonies here on the farms and learning more about these incredible birds. While it's sad that the numbers have been depleted by bird flu and the numbers were really down these last couple of years, it's good that we're seeing a good number of chicks and that there's sort of healthy population back on the farms. The future's looking really positive for these globetrotters.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you liked it, why not give us a like or a follow? And if you want to see the Farne Islands Arctic Terns, head to Instagram at wildtalesnt. We'll be back soon with another episode in a couple of weeks. But if you can't wait that long, why not check out our other nature podcast, Nature Fix? Or if you like your history too, there's Back When. I'll see you next time. Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks, or heart-pounding hikes. We feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at cotswoldoutdoor.com.